Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, David James here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Caroline Fenton from Caroline, Willie, and D-Maze. Caroline, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So we've talked about the departure of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the playoffs last night, and now Brady Watch officially is on board. Ian Rappaport coming out on the NFL Network a couple of days ago saying the Titans could have interest in Tom Brady should he reach free agency. What do you make of what's next for Tom Brady and whether or not the Titans should be interested in pursuing the quarterback who will be 46 years old coming up in August?
Yeah, like I saw his post-game press conference last night when he said, you know, he's taking it all one day at a time and is kind of one foot in, one foot out, and isn't really, you know, saying definitively, yes, I'm coming back, or no, I plan on not coming back, but I don't buy any of it. He's coming back. I don't think that Tom Brady, who has the most decorated and storied career in the history of the National Football League, would finish his career one season after he retired and then unretired and then went 8-9, won an absolutely horrible division with a horrible team and gets embarrassed for only, the third or fourth time in the playoffs in the wild card round in the history of his 25-ish year career. I just don't buy it that he's even considering stepping away. He ended his marriage because he wouldn't step away from football. And then he would step away just a year later. It doesn't seem to me that Tom Brady is going to end his career on this note. Now, the second part, should the Titans pursue him? I don't think that if Tom Brady is available and you could be in the market for a quarterback, Titans don't need to be in the market for a quarterback, but they could be if they want. I don't think that you just don't pursue that. I think that you at least have to explore those options. And every time I bring that up, I hear people say, oh, well, you know, would Tom Brady come here with the offensive line and receiver core? Fair question. Well, they're going to have to address the offensive line and receiver core no matter what. Whether I'm the quarterback, whether Brady's the quarterback, whether Joe is the quarterback, whether Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback. Those are positions of need for this team anyways. And second, you know, I think that Brady would be interested no matter, I mean, like it came out from me in Rappaport that he'd be, that was are the teams on his list no matter what. So that's Tom Brady listing that interest, not just us cooking up something, you know, just to have some fun conversations. So I do think that they're going to have to address the offensive line no matter what. I think the Titans should pursue Tom Brady, but I think also the Titans have a lot of other questions that they do need to address before they start to pursue Tom Brady. Like, who's your GM? Like, who's your offensive coordinator? What direction does this team want to go in? I don't think that they want to go through a rebuild, but let's say they do want to go through a rebuild. And I don't necessarily know that going after Tom Brady is the best option to do that, because I view any team that wants to go after Tom Brady, sure, it's probably only going to be for about a year, but that's going after Tom Brady to me is we're trying to get to the Super Bowl this year, because I can only imagine that Tom Brady's goal, if he comes back at 46 years old, is to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl one last time. So I think that the Titans have some big-time decisions that they need to make about the direction of this franchise before they pursue Tom Brady, but I think that the Titans absolutely should be suitors. Why not? It's Tom freaking Brady.
Yeah, I hear you, and I think that's good analysis. I would say this, though, Caroline. If they go after him, it's because they are a team that's like they are going for the Super Bowl. But isn't that also true if they just decide to run it back with Tannehill and Henry? You know what I mean? I mean, that's still a pretty short term, probably. I think with Henry for sure, it isn't necessarily as short term with Tannehill, you know, because he's 34. But I still feel like if they are like, okay, Tannehill, Henry, defense is good, fix this and this and let's go. Isn't that the same idea? Like they're doing that for a short window of trying to go for it, right? I mean they're not doing that just to, let's see if we can be 9-8 and be okay, guys, right?
Yeah, and I think that whether you go with Tannehill or Brady, to your point, Joe, it's going to be about a year, maybe more. But I view either Tannehill or Brady That's your 2023 quarterback, and then in 2024, let's reevaluate. But I don't view running it back with Tannehill and Henry as going for it. I more so view that as, you know, let's go with the guys who are still working. You know, I look back at this season, Tannehill and Henry weren't your problem. Did they have their fair share of, you know, blunders in individual games? Yeah. I mean, Derrick Henry fumbled the ball twice against the Jacksonville Jags. But overall, Derrick Henry was still the second leading rusher in the NFL. Overall, Derrick Henry still had 1,500 yards. No, you didn't win the division, and yes, you missed the playoffs. But Ryan Tannehill wasn't the problem for that. Maybe Ryan Tannehill being hurt and not having him out on the field hurt you a little bit, absolutely. But I don't think that those are necessarily problems that need to be addressed right now. So if you do run it back with Henry and Tannehill, I more so view that as let's conserve our resources, more so being draft picks, run it back with Tannehill and Henry, use our draft picks to build around those two, draft linemen, draft pass catchers, address positions and holes of need right now, maybe even throw a tight end in there. And then you get those pieces in place and address quarterback and running back and system of the future after that. So I don't necessarily view Tannehill and Henry as Super Bowl pieces as much as I see it as let's keep these stable pieces where they are and address the pieces that aren't as stable and then address quarterback in 2024.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Caroline, what do you think the reaction from Titans fans will be if Ryan Cowden is ultimately named general manager?
That's a good question, and I don't really know because I don't really know how much fans know about him or know about the general managers and that are all being – or the, not general managers, but the candidates for the general manager position that are being interviewed. We don't really know a lot about these guys. Now you can say, oh, you know, he was director of player personnel in San Francisco from this day to this day. I'm like, okay, well, what exactly does that mean? What kind of a role did he play in drafting Trey Lance? Or what kind of a role did, you know, Ian Cunningham play in the draft class for Chicago this year? Like, those are all kind of questions that I have about exactly what their role is. So I don't know how Titans fans would react, but I do know that it would be a little bit of a confusing message. When Amy Adams Strunk says, like, the status quo isn't working, the direction that we're going in isn't working, and then you promote from within. Maybe Ryan Cowden is going in a completely different direction. He has a different mindset for this team. Even though he does come from in-house, he has a different mindset and a different approach that he's going to bring to this team. And great. I just think it's a little bit of a confusing message when you say we cannot keep going with the status quo and then get one of your guys from inside. That doesn't make sense to me. And I think that's kind of the message that it would be to Titans fans and how Titans fans would interpret that. But I do think that that is ultimately what's going to happen. I do think that Ryan Cowden is going to be the guy. I think that Amy Adams Strunk made that decision to fire John Robinson in the middle of the season because she knew who she was going to next. It seems like a really rash decision to make in the middle of the season if you have no idea where you're going to go next. So I do think that Ryan Cowden ultimately is going to be the guy, but good for the Titans for going out of house and interviewing, what, 7 candidates out of house, and a lot of those being minorities. I have to at least give the Titans credit for that.
What about OC? Do you expect that to also ultimately be internal, Caroline?
I do. I do expect that to ultimately be internal. I think it'll be Tim Kelly, and I think that's going to be the same kind of thing is you kind of almost clean house. You fire your GM and your offensive coordinator in the offseason. You have this opportunity, and your offense only has gotten worse over the last few years. You have an opportunity to go out and find a young, fresh mind that can bring in new ideas to this team. And then you stay with Tim Kelly. You kind of stick with Mike Vrabel's buddy. Maybe that's the right decision. It just doesn't feel like the right decision to me. I said from the beginning, I think it's going to be Tim Kelly, but I think it would behoove the Titans to at least think outside the box a little bit and to at least make it a little bit more of an uncomfortable search and find a young, fresh mind that can bring new ideas into this football team. Because continuing the status quo hasn't been working for this team, or at least didn't work for this team this past year. I don't want to act like it's like the Titans have been on some, you know, long streak of losing, because that's absolutely not the case. But if they say the status quo isn't working, then why continue to go back to your guys? Why continue to make the same decisions?
Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. Caroline, great stuff as always. We'll be listening at 11 o'clock today. Thanks for joining us.
Great. Appreciate y'all. Have a good one.
You as well. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Titans general manager search coming up next. And as always, your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The final matchup of NFL Wild Card Weekend has taken place. So you've got the divisional round coming up, and what a divisional round it's going to be. You can bet the NFL playoffs with FanDuel, where every play is a rush. This weekend, FanDuel is giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay during the divisional round. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your NFL playoff same-game parlay doesn't hit. NFL same-game parlays let you combine all your favorite bets for a chance at a bigger payday. You've got the Cowboys and the 49ers. A really interesting game there. I'm going to go with the 49ers at home, and I will go with Brock Purdy over on touchdown passes. But you can take it any way you want to take it. You can even ride with thousands of other fans and bet popular same-game parlays already made for you. If you're new to FanDuel, just join now with promo code ROB to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max refund of $100. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Preds fans, hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. We'll 125-1063 the game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 125-1063 the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 the game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for joining us in the last segment. LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, if the Titans run it back with Tannehill, I would assume the OC will be Kelly. Mark from Clarksville on the text line said, if the Titans promote from within, the fans should be mad. Basically settling and saying we're okay with the same stuff. You have to bring in fresh faces with a new outlook to gain excitement from the fans and the team. But why should fans expect anything different? This from Mark from Clarksville on the text line.
Well, I think, yeah, look, I think that that's going to be the reaction, and I totally get it. I think it's totally understandable if those are decisions. And I say that, first of all, I personally, I don't necessarily agree with Caroline on that it's going to be Cowden and Kelly. I would lean toward Kelly. I've thought Kelly all along. And if that's the case, yeah, look, it'll be just like when Vrabel gave Shane Bowen the actual DC title going in the 21 season, right? People were mad. And I got it, because the defense was so bad in 2020, the worst third down defense ever, that it's like, well, what are you doing? Well, turns out Vrabel knew what he was doing, and Shane Bowen's a good defensive coordinator. But at the time, that's a totally understandable reaction. And if it is Tim Kelly, you know, we'll see. I don't know that but I totally understand fans feeling that way. I don't necessarily believe that it will be Cowden. I mean, it could be. I'm more confident in Kelly being the internal run it back higher than I am with Cowden, based on, and again, I'm basing some of that on, we've actually seen Amy Adams Strunk in her interview with Teresa Walker talking about the GM hire, and it just didn't sound like someone who ultimately was all along just like, I just wanted to go to Cowden, just wanted to keep it internal. You know what I mean? I could be wrong. But I feel like there's a better, much better chance that we see an outside hire there. What do you think?
I don't necessarily believe that it's going to be Cowden either. Now, I do find it interesting that, you know, one person that they have interviewed is now off the board for the Tennessee Titans, and that is, of course, Monty Ossenfort, who was named general manager of the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. So Monty Ossenfort was obviously director of player personnel with the Titans. He got interviewed, I believe it was Friday, by the Cardinals, and then yesterday the Cardinals made it official, and he is now the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. So a quick move there by Arizona. They fire Cliff Kingsbury, and they fired their general manager immediately after the regular season, and they've already got their next GM named in Monty Ossenfort. Obviously, the Titans had interviewed him as well, and obviously, wasn't going to be the general manager of the Titans. He's now the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. So what does that mean for Ryan Cowden? Are the two things necessarily connected? Not necessarily. I go back to me, and Caroline pointed this out, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, if you're upset with the direction that you've been going, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, to then go to the number two behind John Robinson in charge and make him the general manager. Now, look, that doesn't mean that Ryan Cowden is the same person as John Robinson, and maybe he would make different decisions, and maybe he's got a different plan and a different path. I don't know. Like, I don't know what Ryan Cowden's thinking moving forward is. I don't know what his involvement in the past has been with some of the decisions that they've made. They would have way more information on that than I would. I just don't think that that makes a whole lot of sense to approach it that way. So maybe it's just me hoping that this is the case, but I think that they're going to go outside the organization.
Well, look, yeah, I think that it is definitely harder to sell to fans, and it is this, you know, it's this, we want to go in a new direction, so much so that I'm firing someone in the middle of the season. We don't even need to do that. And then you also have the, you know, the OC firing, and hey, maybe that was just Mike Vrabel on his own saying, yep, Todd not getting it done. But I bet you there was some collaboration on that decision.
Mm.
Thank you. But, you know, Cowden is, look, I've been impressed with Cowden the whole time here. He's been close with other jobs. In fact, I got to go find, I wrote something a couple years ago about the Cowden Robinson dynamic. And, you know, I know one thing that John Robinson told me when he was GM was that, you know, Cowden definitely is a guy who would challenge him. I mean, maybe, if we could get the scorecard, it'd be like, Cowden said no, Isaiah Wilson. Cowden said yeah. No on Dylan Radins. You know, seriously, like Monty Ossenfort, maybe he was like, hey, we got to draft Greg Newsome. Do not draft Caleb Farley. And Robinson just went, sorry, guys.
Do I'm not trade A.J. here. Brown.
Yeah, right. I think a large percentage of the folks employed by the Tennessee Titans would have said that right up until the time that he actually did that. That's the hard part, is we don't know, you know, the scorecard. I mean, even scouts. I mean, scouts rise in this league at times because of their, like, hey, he unearthed this guy, and this guy, you know? That's someone with a real eye for this. So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you're just doing the same things. Look, I think, again, I would not have fired John Robinson right now. That's me. So I think that, like, their overall direction is good. I think the recent mistakes have been really costly. Number one easily is trading A.J. Brown. If you can boil that, I think you can easily separate that one out and say that is one person. I'm not saying John Robinson was like screaming against everybody else in the building at him, but I think it boils down to it's pretty clearly one person who got very frustrated with negotiations and the back and forth and the agent and the stuff A.J. Brown was doing and overreacted and to me panicked. When he should have held firm and realized that, you know, you can still figure this all out as other teams did with similar situations. So if you believe that's on him, and I think it's fair to put that one on him, you know, that's the biggest mistake to me of the entire tenure. Some of the draft mistakes, that's where I don't know the scorecard on that, right? I mean, I don't know that Vrabel didn't sign off. I still have a hard time buying that as Vrabel, you know, establish himself as a coach And he's, you know, Vrabel is like, that guy has such a strong voice, right? I can't believe that they drafted Farley, Raiders, all these guys without Vrabel's approval.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really difficult to imagine that being the case. Michael from Herbinage on the text line said, if the Titans did only hire from within, wouldn't that signal that Vrabel is really going to be the one running the show? Mark on the text line says, with the power that Vrabel has and demands, why would we think the GM and OC will be any different than exactly what he wants? He wants people that will bow to him and not come in with new schemes, etc. Don't kid yourself, Vrabel is the real GM and OC. It will be the same old Titans. This from Mark on the text line.
Well, I think that this sentiment is going to be popular. I think that's a little bit pessimistic. I mean, I think Vrabel wants to win.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think Vrabel just wants to like have power and have people bow to him. Yes, you bow to me. We may go 8-9, but you are bowing to me. You know, I mean, he wants to win. So will he make the good choices? I think he made a good choice with Shane Bowen against all public sentiment. And I mean, I had no reason to think at that point that would be a good move. It seems to have worked out pretty well. I think Shane Bowen's going to be a head coach in the NFL. He also made the choice of Todd Downing. I don't think that was a very good one.
No.
So it's not like Vrabel's scorecard is perfect either. But, I mean, these decisions, I don't think Vrabel is making decisions for power over what can help the Tennessee Titans win. That's ultimately that's really long-term how you have power in this league and keep your job in this league is by winning football games.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. What would be your reaction if the Titans stay in-house and hire Ryan Cowden as the general manager? We'll have more on that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit tjandersonhomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. Predators General Manager David Poyle joining the show at 8:30. Right now talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I'm throwing the question out there. I don't know who the Titans are going to hire as their general manager, but if it's Ryan Cowden and they stay in-house, what will your reaction be as a Titans fan? Let us know, 615-737-1025. Joe, if that's the way they go, how do you think the Titans fan base responds to that? And do you think that is being weighed at all when it comes to Amy Adams Strunk being the one making this decision?
Well, it better not be. Then there's real issues in this organization. All due respect to us, the media, and fans, if you're worried about reaction when you make these moves, you're screwed. I mean, you're trying to win football games. It is very hard to win football games in the NFL. So that shouldn't be any consideration. And it's like, I mean, even if you take it to like Derrick Henry, I mean, I'd like to see Derrick Henry. I'd like to cover another season of Derrick Henry running the football in this stadium. I think the massive percentage of Titans fans feel the same way. I know some don't. I mean, we hear from Titans fans who are like, it's time to move on, but
for sure.
I think it'd be overwhelmingly in favor of, if you put it to a referendum, Derrick Henry would be here next year. But whoever's making the personnel decisions has to do them for the best interest of, you know, short and long term. But I mean, it's just about winning it. That's all you have to consider. I think there will be, depending on what happens, a lot more vitriol on the OC in-house hire than there would be on the Cowden hire. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right on that, because this goes back to a question that I've been asking. Like, I don't know how much people really care about the general manager search for the Titans. I really don't. Like, I think a lot of people at the end of the day think that regardless of who the GM is, Vrabel's going to be the one making the decisions. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but that's what people think. Like, I really don't know how much Titans fans actually care about this general manager search. I think they really care about the offensive coordinator search.
I think there's more care. I think they should care. You know, so Mickey Loomis, for example, and of course they're in the post Sean Payton era, didn't go well this year, but there's a GM who has a lot of respect, even though, you know, reportedly, like, Sean Payton had final say. I still feel like that job's really important. First of all, you better have someone in there who can at times try to provide checks and balances, even if your head coach does have that power, right? And also, like, it's still a year-long constant process of scouting and of trying to be ready when people get hurt, of trying to do it like the Titans have done, and, you know, and been able to find guys and bring them in and get some good football out of them. Credit to Vrabel and his staff, but also credit to Robinson's staff, Robinson's former staff, for finding some of those guys. Like, there's still so much to it that's so important. Even if the head coach ultimately has the final say. So, like, it's not some insignificant thing at all. But yeah, I agree. Like, the closer you get to the actual playing of the football, I think more people care about it. And I do think if Tim Kelly is the hire, there's going to be people upset about it. And I will totally get it. Like, I don't think that they necessarily need to change schemes. I mean, I probably, like, it, especially if you are going back with Tannehill and Henry, I'd probably want to be in the same scheme.
Yeah.
Personally, but I like the fact that they at least reached out and they looked at and they reached out reportedly on these two Kansas City guys. I like that. You know, I don't think that's just a total, it's a lot of these things when you interview people. First of all, obviously there is the Rooney Rule, and so all these teams have to satisfy the Rooney Rule. But also, I mean, you know, sometimes maybe it's for show, even for some. I have my doubts that looking at two Kansas City guys is just purely like a show people that we are thinking something different, but all along it's just going to be Tim Kelly. I don't know. You buy that? I mean, that's a Jared kind of, you know.
Well, no, I'm with you there. I just, without trying to read too much into it, it makes me wonder what it means for the roster, because I agree with you. Like, if Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are coming back, I don't really know why you would change the scheme. I mean, I think those guys have demonstrated that the scheme can work if you've got the right players around them in the scheme. So if you're bringing Tannehill and Henry back, I don't really know why you would change it. If you're not, would that lead to maybe some different scheme changes? Do you have a different quarterback in mind? You know, what's the roster going to look like? I don't know. Like, again, I don't want to read too much into, oh, the Titans requested permission to interview Eric Bieniemy and Matt Nagy for their offensive coordinator job, so that must mean that Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry aren't coming back next year. I'm just saying that if you wanted to change up the scheme, does it really make a whole lot of sense to bring those two back? I'm not sure that it does.
Right. And, of course, the Kansas City guy's like, oh, shoot, oh, I missed your text. Yeah. Oh, man, did you hire someone else yet? I'm sorry. The Titans are getting turned down here a little bit out there on different fronts. What do you think? I wanted to get to something Caroline said about Tannehill and Henry. What do you think about the idea that, because I do, I think if you have Tannehill and Henry back, I think – this has to be considered a quote unquote go for it year, right? I don't think it's any less of a quote unquote go for it year than if you had Brady, is it?
Well, I think I agree.
It's gotta be successful.
Right. Like, I don't think it would be successful, but I said it before. Like, if you're bringing Tannehill, this goes back to the conversation we had about DeAndre Hopkins, and it doesn't specifically have to be DeAndre Hopkins. But my point was, well, if you're bringing those two back, if you're not totally all in to try to win a Super Bowl, then why are you doing it? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me to bring those two back and then just be like, well, we'll try to get a little bit better around him, and maybe we can go 9-8, 10-7, squeak into the playoffs and see how things go from there. It just doesn't make any sense to operate that way. So I would agree. Like, I think if you're bringing Tannehill and Henry both back, that signals to me that you think you have a chance to win and to compete for a Super Bowl. Now, do you really have a chance to compete for a Super Bowl? I don't know. Depends on a lot of things you do this offseason. Brady, certainly, to me, would signal you're trying to at least go for a Super Bowl, because why in the heck would he be playing for you if you're not? But, yes, I think if they bring Tannehill and Henry back, that tells me that at least they believe they can compete for one.
And, by the way, you know, if you do bring Brady back, then – or not Brady, but back. If you do sign Brady, as you mentioned, so then you're hurting – you know, it's still going to hurt you some with Tannehill. It's going to hurt you paying Brady. No, you have less that you can do. I mean, I understand, you know, people can say, no, the cap. Yeah, the cap is certainly movable, but it's still like then you have to do this, and it's more painful, and you are more restricted. There is a salary cap. You are more restricted if you go that route as well. So going for it with Brady, also, it's more challenging to be great around your quarterback if you go with Brady.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Santa from Portland. Santa, good morning. How are we doing?
Well, I'm doing great, Robbie. Joe, it's good to hear from you guys. I wanted to chime in. It's pretty simple for me because I'm sure I'm in the minority. I think I don't really care where they get the GM or the OC because one person can't do it all. I think that someone somewhere evaluated talent and thought that Isaiah Wilson was going to be, you know, a good draft choice, that Dylan Raiden was going to be a good draft choice, didn't see anything coming with Caleb Farley. And I think that comes down to whoever's doing the scouting and they're doing the researching on these young men before they get into the league. And recently, they've failed miserably. And I think that whoever is doing the evaluating, if they're giving all the right information to Vrabel, and if I'm Vrabel, I'm trusting in those people to do the right evaluation before those decisions are made. So that's my standpoint. I think that it comes down to whoever's evaluating the talent and making a decision that, hey, these guys are worth risking a draft choice on. You guys have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Santa. And to that point, Joe, okay, well, how much say-so did Ryan Cowden have in those conversations? And again, the point that you keep bringing up, how much say-so did Mike Vrabel have in those conversations? Those are all things that we don't know, but you have to ask those type questions.
Yeah. Real quick on one point there made that I will argue that. Isaiah Wilson was a consensus, like, first-round talent, you know. I have no idea where he would have gone if the Titans wouldn't have taken him. I feel confident in saying it wouldn't have been too much longer. I mean, his stuff was off the field. No, but I tell you what, and then the Farley thing, that's the risk-reward. And, I mean, we saw the immediate reaction from teams after that, right? Some teams looked at his medicals and were scared the heck away. And oh, yeah. Look, I think those teams are smarter than the Titans. The Raiders one is like, I think that's a missed football evaluation. I know it's not a first round pick, it's a second round pick, but boy, you can do a lot in the second round.
No question about it. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, with that lovely music in the background, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Very fitting. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, I picked it strategically.
So this is probably overkill since, like, Jared and I, you know, yell at each other on Wednesdays and then Jared comes on Thursdays. But I think there is a bigger discussion to be had here. So I think this is a good opportunity to take some of Jared's words and turn them into productive conversation. So I guess without further ado, I was sitting in the barrel house yesterday and Jared was like, he saw me. I came in, he's excited. Like, oh, good. Cause look at my topic for 5:30. It's ripping you for like admitting you were wrong or whatever. I'm like, oh, great. So I sat there and listened to it. And I was like, I guess maybe I should address this tomorrow. So let's hear what Jared had to say and let's make a nice discussion out of it.
And I heard Joe Rexroad, who has argued for years about this, who finally said the Titans made a mistake in 2020 by not signing Tom Brady and re-signing Ryan Tannehill. And it was refreshing to hear that because for so long, the boo-hoo Tannehill crew of this town, led by Joe and Gentry Estes, said, no, it was the right decision to sign Tannehill over Brady. And I remember thinking to myself, you guys are crazy. You guys are crazy. What do you mean? It was a good idea. To me, it was one and done. It was the Titans played the Ravens. They scored 13 points in a playoff game. Ryan Tannehill didn't crack 175 yards. Brady won the Super Bowl. I put my hands in my head and I said, what a mistake I made. What a mistake we all made. What? And I kept saying, I took the cheese on it. I took the cheese on Tannehill. Now, I think Tannehill had a nice year this year, and I've defended Tannehill, and I like Tannehill fine. But I took the cheese, and I've said many times, I am not making the same mistake twice. I am not going to fall into the same trap that I fell in 3 years ago, where I said, well, it's a different offense for Brady, and I don't know how he'd get along with Derrick Henry, and he's old, and Tannehill's younger, and this could be a long-term thing, and how much does Brady really have left in the tank, and would Brady think about coming here? And all those things that I talked myself into 3 years ago that told me, hey, you know what, I'm not going to go after Tom Brady because of these things. And then I took the cheese on Tannehill. I'm not doing that again. So if Tom Brady, if there's any inclination that Tom Brady wants to be here, I'm all in. And to hear Joe Rexroad say this morning that the Titans made a mistake, boy, I tell you, that was music to my ears. It was refreshing to know that honesty and the truth exists on our morning program.
So it's Jared Stillman yesterday. Joe, your response.
Did he just say the word inclination?
He did.
Is that like inclination and ignition combined?
I guess so.
I missed that. The barrel house was loud. So first of all, yeah, truth and honesty. Now that is funny. You tell me, Robbie, you hold me accountable here. I think I've been pretty consistent. Like this comes up a lot where it's like the clowny argument that I've had with Jared, but it's like, yeah, okay. If I could go back in time with the knowledge I have now, then sure, I would change that. If I ran the Titans and I could go back in time, I would not have made the Julio trade. I would not have signed Clowney. And, you can go through a lot of things. And this one, too, I would have gone with Brady instead of Tannehill. But I maintain with Julio, with Clowney, and with this, those are three that stand out. I think given the information at the time, they didn't make a mistake. Have I changed on this?
No. My whole thing has been always, yeah, I would have gone with Brady over Tannehill. But how do we know that Brady wanted to come here? Like, that's never been made clear.
Well, there's that, too.
That's my point. Like, people keep acting like the Titans chose Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady, who knows if he wanted to come here? Like, he went to Tampa Bay because the situation in Tampa Bay was really good. And, you know, we can get back into the quarterback that he was referring to on the shop the one time. And was it Derek Carr? Was it Jimmy Garoppolo? I guess was it Ryan Tannehill?
But Jared was sure it was Tannehill.
Yeah, but like everybody keeps acting like the Titans are like, oh, well, they've got like Brady on this side making his case to join the Titans and Tannehill on this side. And we have no idea whether or not that was the case. I don't think it was. Like, I think Brady wanted to go to Tampa Bay, and he did. Now, if the Titans did have a chance to get Tom Brady, a legitimate chance, not just a, oh, well, we'll see, a legitimate chance to get Tom Brady, and they chose Ryan Tannehill over that, then, yeah, it's a mistake. But everybody keeps acting like it was like, well, they could have had Tom Brady. Maybe. They may not have been able to have Tom Brady.
Well, and that's another interesting thing about this is apparently – and this was something Jared said on his show yesterday. I miss it. Jared, whenever anybody in the world says anything about the Titans, Jared will have the sound of it on the show. And Rappaport threw in that the Titans, you know, had interest last time around, which I actually argued a little bit with Jared. I'm like, well, I mean, I think everybody has interest, right? What does have interest mean? You know, I don't know exactly, but yeah, exactly. Like the idea that it was just like, it was theirs for the picking and we'll go this way. Without really knowing how Brady felt about it. I think you're probably right. I mean, and Brady made a good choice, by the way. They're bad now, but boy, was that an incredible team that he won a Super Bowl with that first season in Tampa Bay. So, and this also now applies to now. And again, if Brady was like, come on, man, I want to bring a Super Bowl to Nashville. Let's do it. Let's come on. You can do this, this, this. Let's go. I mean, I think you'd have to do it, right? You'd have to do it. But I'll go back to, and I was definitely wrong because I thought, man, we're really seeing this guy decline. They were not good in 2019 in New England. It was an awful offense, you know? So I was wrong about that. But I still, like, I'm watching last night. I'm like, oh, at some point, like, someone's going to have Tom Brady on their team and be like, oh, shoot, that's right. I just got AARP stuff in the mail, and he shouldn't be our quarterback anymore. Maybe he'll retire before it gets to that. But I feel like a lot of these cases of players that keep hanging on, at some point it just comes to an end where it's like, yeah, you just played too long, man. But yeah, I would do it. I would do it. And now another question I do have on this is of course a GM hire. Like, we don't know who all is making the decisions. But are we sure that it's not Stretch who's making the decision?
Maybe worth bringing up this week.
I mean, is Jared still talking about that? Or I don't know. I don't listen to the show all the time. Does he have like an hour of like, what will Stretch do as GM? I mean, I don't know. I don't.
Well, remember,
he
said on our show last week that he feels like that he blocked it for the Titans. He talked it out and the Titans realized it was a bad idea, and that was it.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that's, I mean, honestly, see, the thing is, we're sitting here trying to figure out, what are the Titans going to do? Who's going to be this high? Who's going to be that there? What we should do is just listen to Jared as he sort of manipulates the whole situation because they listen to his show and then react accordingly, right?
Yeah, he filters out the candidates.
I like it.
I mean, I think it is, I think from their perspective, listening to Jared and acting accordingly is a good inclination.
You nailed it. Very nicely done. 615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. We'll take your thoughts on Tom Brady. Should the Titans pursue him as their quarterback? And also, which Titans should land new deals this offseason? We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.